Welcome. Welcome to K-Drama School, everybody. Nice to be here. You guys, it is 8 days. 8 days until my book hits your bookstores. Order this. Order this now. K-Drama School, a pop culture inquiry into why we love Korean television. I wrote the shit out of this book, all right? I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this book. I put everything into this book. Okay? Like, I graduated into a recession, a pandemic, and inflation. I realized I've been technically unemployed for the last 3 years. That's what I realized. I've been doing a bunch of odd jobs, gig stuff, hustle stuff. All I have is this book. Please buy it. It makes a difference. It does. And once you buy it and once you read it or listen to it, if you're going to listen to the audiobook, I read the audiobook. I read it myself. I ask that you please give it a rating on Amazon. And please rate it only if you like the book. I mean, if you hate it, don't rate it. You know that saying, like, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Try applying that logic to Yelp and to Amazon and to YouTube. You know, lately I've been uploading YouTube shorts. Like, you know how YouTube has like shorts? It's like TikTok and like Instagram, like 60 second long short videos on YouTube. That's something that is now happening. So I've been doing that with my stand up. And I've been noticing that it would get like 1,000 views. And I would get like maybe 10 likes or 8 likes or a couple of likes. And then I would get like a bunch of comments from people saying like, you're not funny. You shouldn't do stand-up. And reading those comments, to be honest, like, I don't feel anything. But I do wonder, like, what is the point of that? You know? Like, if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. So, yeah. If you're mad at your life and how things are going, if you are bitter or jealous or resentful, trust me, I am not your problem. I assure you, you and I are strangers. I do see you. I have nothing for love for you. I hope that you take on boxing or something. So that's my recommendation to those toxic YouTube comment trolls. But please buy my book, K-Drama School. And please give it 5 stars. Also, if you're a listener of this podcast, give my podcast 5 stars. Write a nice review on Spotify, iTunes. Say something nice about it. Subscribe on YouTube, please, at K-Drama School. And you can also subscribe on my comedy account at Grace Jung Comedy. Yeah, I have a YouTube there, too. And there are small ways that you could always, like, contribute and help and be of support, you know? Share a little kindness, share a little light, share a little love in this world. You can do that in little ways by doing the opposite of what toxic trolls choose to do. And you can also support me on Patreon. That I can definitely use, you know? Even if you pay $5 a month, like, that helps me out a lot. It helps me pay for my website. Helps me pay for my Netflix subscription. Helps pay for a lot of things. I had to shut down my LLC this year because I realized I can't afford the $800 California filing fee. And so I had to shut down my LLC. RIP, Grace Jung's LLC. I realized, like, I technically don't need one right now. My business, my entrepreneurial business, is not exactly thriving at the moment for me to have one. So it just doesn't make any fiscal sense. So that's why I closed it. It did cost me like $2,000 to establish it, maintain it, create it, and all of that. But, you know, I learned a lot from it. So there that is. Do we call shutting down a business a failure? And that's sort of what I want to talk about today, because I'm going to talk today about failure. I'm currently theorizing and philosophizing around the notion, the concept of failure. That is what I'm currently working on. I think I mentioned this perhaps last week. This has just been on the mind the last several weeks, but I am slowly inching my way towards back into academia. And I have a stronger sense of what I want to talk about in academia with my first academic book, now that I have more confidence and I've put aside a lot of my like feelings and trauma and disorder stuff. I've put that aside through my trade book, K-Drama School, which is like memoir and textual analysis and historical context, and like a very, you know, simple pop history and pop culture inquiry about Korean television overall. I am working on my first academic book, and that is going to revolve around the notion of failure, or redefining what failure is outside of the context of capitalist polarities and binaries. Like, what is success? What is failure? Why do we have to think of everything around success and failure? If we are trying to be anti-capitalistic, you know, or if the liberal scholar declares or claims that they are being anti-capitalistic, why do they still use terms like success and failure? Why is that still going on? And so that's what I want to talk about. And I'm going to talk about the show that I've been kind of bringing up here and there. Welcome to Samdali. Mm-hmm. And this is a show that I personally did not enjoy. And that was surprising to me because the screenwriter, Kwon Hee-joo, she's written shows that I actually like. So she co-wrote The Sound of Your Heart, which is a sitcom based on a webtoon by the show creator. What's his face? Cho Seok, right? He's like the cartoonist. And so it was like based on that Naver web series, The Sound of Your Heart. And then they turned it into this sitcom, but with no laugh track. And it's like on Netflix, right? And it's, I love that show. It's like a weird, feel-good, hilarious comedy thing. And it's like very like tacky and camp. And it's a tad transphobic. It's got some transphobic stuff. But it's also queer in a very intense way too. I really love the show. I think it's fantastic. But yeah, like Kwon Hee-joo co-wrote that script. And then after the success of that, she wrote Go Back Couple, which stars like some big fucking names. It stars Jang Na-ra. Mm-hmm. Jang Na-ra is in Go Back Couple. Her co-star, what's his face? Son Ho-jun? He's in it. And I noticed that Jang Na-ra and Son Ho-jun, they're playing a couple again in like another K-drama with Jang Na-ra in it. So I guess they're like for life. They're like lifers. Kim Mi-kyung is in all of the shows that Kwon Hee-joo writes. She is in The Sound of Your Heart. She is in Go Back Couple. She's in Hi Bye Mama. Yeah, Kwon Hee-joo wrote Hi Bye Mama. And she's again in Welcome to Samdali. She's always playing the mom. Like, this woman, this actress, all right, Kim Mi-kyung, is in everything. Everything. Everything that Kwon Hee-joo writes. But she's, like, literally in every K-drama you've ever seen. Like, you see her face and you're like, oh my god, I know this lady. She's, like, literally in every single K-drama ever. All right, so there's a lot of pressure on writer Kwon Hee-joo. There's a lot of pressure for her to succeed, right? Because she's succeeded in these earlier shows. I mean, like, I don't think Go Back Couple was a huge hit, but like Sound of Your Heart was such a massive hit that all these big name stars were in like Go Back Couple, like Jang Na-ra, and then you get fucking Kim Tae-hee in Hi Bye Mama. And then now you get, you know, fucking like Shin Hye-sun in Welcome to Samdali. And Shin Hye-sun is like a huge, she's a huge star, huge Hallyu star, right? Right? Mr. Queen actress. So, a lot of pressure writing on this show. And I don't think it was like a ratings, you know, shattering, like record shattering thing. And I'm just looking at the show like, well, why am I bringing the show up? Right? Why? What's the point? Like, I didn't enjoy it, but I did watch it. It took me forever to finish it. I did watch it. Why am I talking about it? And I want to talk about it in the context of failure. Yeah. What is failure? What is failure according to this show? Welcome to Samdali. Uh-huh. And I think it's worth noting because this show is all about failure. So in the beginning, you have this protagonist, Samdal. She's a successful commercial photographer in Seoul. And her assistant, who is very ambitious and wants to move up in the ranks, starts having an affair with Samdal's boyfriend and then accuses Samdal of being like a harassing, abusive, haranguing boss. And she attempts suicide. And there's like all this scandal. And it's all baseless. It's all made up. But it ruins Samdal's reputation. Samdal loses all of her clients. And Samdal ends up back in her small town in Jeju. Okay. Now, her older sister, Jindal, is also like got this like hint of a failure around her, like some smog of failure around her. And what is that? Like, she's a divorcee, so a failed marriage, quote unquote failed marriage, right? Because the marriage did not last, so quote unquote fail. And it was not just any marriage, but it was like a marriage to like a very wealthy family, like a chaebol family. And she couldn't hack it, she couldn't do it, so she left, right? So, divorcee, left a very wealthy situation, a fiscally, financially comfortable situation, and is living with her younger sister. And then Samdal's younger sister, Haedal, is a single mom and a widow. Yeah, she became a mother at a very young age. Her husband, her partner died, and she has this daughter, Hayul, who feels like she is the bane of her mother's existence. She feels as if she needs to hide the fact that she is her mother's daughter for the sake of her mother's romantic potential. So there's this like shade of failure, of course, projected in their own minds. It's their own construction in their minds, smogging, covering them up all around. Okay. And it's all around this like notion of like heteronormativity. For Samdal, it's like capitalist success, okay? And it's also a reputational success. Like, is she a good boss? Uh-huh. Does she have a clean reputation as somebody who is like upright and moral and ethically sound and da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Okay? And that's like ruined by this woman who accuses her of shit that is like baseless. All right. And she loses all of her clients, so she's broke and she has to go back home. And then Samdae has her older sister who has this like failed marriage thing, and then her younger sister has this like single mom widow reputation, which is like frowned upon in a heteronormative society. All right, so failure or projected failure all around. And when you watch the last episode of Samdae, you have the life that is inauthentically lived as being the definition of failure. Okay, so what do you have? Like Hayul, right? Hayul gets a scolding from her mom. Like Hayul says that she wants to be like a swimmer or whatever when she doesn't like swimming. And her mother's like, why? Why are you insisting on being something that you don't want to be? Why are you trying to prove yourself as worthy just in my eyes? Why are you not living your authentic life according to you? Okay, so this is something that this young mother, Haedal, is teaching her young daughter. And then you have Jindal, who got a divorce because she couldn't stand her in-laws. Her in-laws were like insufferable. They were so mean to her. And she felt like she could not be her authentic true self. She couldn't voice herself. She couldn't opinionate. She couldn't be herself in that suffocating environment. And that's why she left her husband, even though she and her husband do still have some feelings left for each other. And so it's about like the inauthentic life. If you live your life inauthentically, if you live your life detached or dissociated from who it is that you actually are or wish to be or strive to be, then that is the inauthentic life. That is the failed existence. That is failing at life. It's not these heteronormative capitalistic standards that are set arbitrarily by, I don't know, society. But it's not even society. It's like themselves, right? Like they created the rules. I was having lunch with my friend Mish today, and that's exactly what we were talking about. Like, who made up the rule? You know, like we went to this sandwich restaurant in Highland Park, and we wrote out our names because it was a 40-minute wait. And then, you know, he asked the hostess, like, could you just text me or call me? And she was like, that's against our policy. And he was like, but I mean, who made up this rule? Like, you did. You made it up so you could break this rule anytime. You know, instead, the hostess was like, I am willing to come over next door to the bar where you will be waiting at, and I will come get you there. But I don't, like, with the texting thing, we're not going to do. So we're like, okay, that works just as well. But it's like, right now, in this very moment, you are bypassing and creating a new rule just out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? There are no rules. Rules are an illusion. There are no lines. There are no restrictions. There are no bounds. You're free. You're free to choose to live and be as you want, as you wish to be. You're making yourself suffer by abiding by these rules that you created that are making you unhappy. You see? And that's what was happening. That's what was happening at the restaurant, and that's what's happening in this fucking show. So for Samdae, what is the inauthentic life that she's living? Well, for one, she changed her name, right? She changed her name. She was like living this pretentious yuppie life, who, you know, doesn't acknowledge or honor her like Jeju bumfuck background. She, you know, doesn't want to be associated with any of that, like, agrarian or like seaside small town life. None of that. Doesn't want to honor or acknowledge any of that. She doesn't want to be associated with any of her friends from her past. You know, she like created this cosmopolitan identity and continued to uphold that throughout her career. And it gave her some monetary success and some cultural currency, you know, in society. But she saw how quickly that disintegrated, how quickly that illusion just like fell apart and became a quote unquote failure, right? By returning home. And this is hitting home with me a lot right now for me on a personal level, because, you know, I'm just like, do I need to go back home to my parents, you know, at this age in my late 30s? Is that where I'm at? You know, with all this education, with all this like experience and cultural currency that I've amassed, like, is that my fate? Is that where I'm going to be ending up? So that's on the mind. And, you know, I've been crying a lot, like emoting a lot around that very pressure that I created and constructed for myself in my own head. I was like constantly criticizing myself, calling myself a failure, calling myself just shameful, you know, somebody who, you know, doesn't even deserve to live because, you know, she's lived her life incorrectly this whole time. Blaming myself for capitalist flaws. Yeah, there are flaws and failures in this capitalist economy. I'm feeling it. The tech industry is feeling it. I was just talking to my friend about like all these like tech industry people who are just like getting fired left and right all over the place. Not only tech industry, but the publishing industry, also the film industry and the television industry. The strike, it affected everybody. I'm definitely feeling it. Yeah, everybody's jobless. I got laid off from my seasonal work. Yeah, they cut all of my hours this past week. I lost 20 hours. It was like it was down to 5 hours, and then like even the 5 hours, they took that away. So I filed for unemployment. And this was like a part-time gig, minimum wage. And I wasn't happy, so, you know, it was coming at a good time. But like, you know what I'm saying, you guys? Like, I went to like Tender Greens. It's like a salad fast food place for an interview. And the woman interviewing me was like in her 20s, you know? And she could feel that like she was in the energetic presence of somebody who doesn't belong at Tender Greens. She was like, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm acting new right now. I was like, I don't know either. This is very annoying to me. Why am I talking to you? I thought I was supposed to talk to like a general manager. Why am I talking to a fucking team lead, you know, who wasn't even expecting me, right? Ugh, so many problems. Anyway, all this to say is like, when there are economic and sociocultural and sociopolitical, socioeconomic failures or downturns, okay, the individual, the subject cannot help but first blame themselves. It's just psychology. It's like literally psychology. We just all end up doing it. And that's what I've been doing for the last several weeks, hysterically crying. I think for the last 3-4 months, I have been doing that. Since January, I've been sobbing every single day at my own lot, right? And so I'm connecting with this notion of failure. And I'm realizing it's not just me. It's like everybody is kind of living in precarity right now. I went to Whole Foods and I saw a man in his, clearly in his late 60s, if not early 70s, handing out samples, like drink samples, all right? So there's like a man who should be long retired and he's working a job at Whole Foods as a like a taste sampler person. I went to the beach during the solar eclipse, which was awesome, by the way. If you saw the Monday solar eclipse, good for you, because that was like a worthy thing to do. So I was like driving to the beach after my hours got cut on Monday to just make a good situation out of a bad one. And as I was driving, I saw an old man, like you could tell he had white hair. He was smoking like a vape pen while driving. And I was like, oh, good for this guy. You know, like, yeah, man, like get high, whatever. But I also saw that on the back of his car, he had an Uber sticker. And I was like, oh, my fucking God, this old man in his 70s is driving Uber. Like he's making money off of driving for Uber. This dude is clearly in his 70s. And I was just like, this is capitalism failing us, right? But then I was also wondering, like, what makes me assume that retirement and savings and stability, like, what makes me assume that these are a given right? And that's where things get weird for me. Like, why am I assuming that social security, healthcare, food, shelter, basic necessities, why am I assuming that these things ought to be a given, you know? And I'm not trying to lean into like some libertarian, like conservative right-wing politics. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just literally theorizing or philosophizing and asking the question, where does this idea come from? Are these a given? Are these standards like food, shelter, like social security, health benefits, healthcare, are these a given standard? Are these like a required standard? Are these a given? And why? Why is that the given? That's where I'm just like, I don't understand. Things get a little wonky for me there. And I'm just trying to figure that out. Like, where does that come from? Because even with those things, it's still a precarious life. Life is unpredictable. Life is uncertain. You know? Monday was a really good lesson for me in that. Monday was a magical day for me, by the way. I drove to Point Magoo Beach. I wanted to see the solar eclipse, but I didn't have solar glasses. Some woman, like a few feet away, she walked over and shared her solar eclipse glasses with me. So I got to see the solar eclipse at Point Magoo Beach. And then she and I both saw humpback whales. And then we saw orcas like on the shore. They were like really close to the shore. Super magical. And yeah, it was just like an awesome day. And I hear that this solar eclipse is like setting the vibe for the next like 2 to 3 years. And like, you know, she and I shared like what our intentions were. She said her intention was to slow down more and be more present. And I was like, I think that's my intention too, to be more present, to be more accepting of the moment for what it is. Because that's the only place where I could find peace, you know? Because when we think about the future, the unknowable, the unpredictable, the uncontrollable future, we have nothing but anxiety. Nothing but anxiety and paranoia. That's all the mind can do, to problematize. Assume that there is a problem and to problematize and try to problem solve. That's all the mind is capable of. And that's why cerebral stuff like intellectualizing, scholarship, knowledge, that's why this shit, there's a fucking limit to it. That's why it's not real. That's why I can't buy into all of it. But I love the message behind Samdali. Welcome to Samdali. And I think it is very applicable to just like how to live a good life in general. Live your most authentic life. Live your life most authentically as yourself. Do not hide who and what you are. Don't be ashamed of who and what you are. You are a living human specimen. And be as human as possible. Indulge in all of your humanity, no matter what it may be. And there's no shame in it. I think that's the message there. Also, like, forgive yourself. That's a big one, right? Yeah, the character played by Kim Mi-kyung, like, she's just, like, she's been punishing herself for decades for the death of her best friend. And, yeah, it's like, forgive yourself. Be human. Be, quote-unquote, a failure. This notion of failure, this concept of failure, it's not real. It's arbitrarily constructed, and it is self-projected. It is a self-binding thing. It is not, it's not from society. And even if society does say it, it means nothing. Because it's like, well, where is society getting that from? Whatever definition of success is or failure is, it is subjective and it is arbitrary and it is relative. And so how do we go beyond the polarities of failure versus success? It's just go beyond those very words and to realize, like, subjectivity, understand subjectivity, give the subjectivity as much, I don't know, power or emphasis as possible. That's how you bypass these notions of failure and success, because it's fucking arbitrary and it's not real. So that's all I have to say about that.